I'd like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
I just feel like I'm having a nice, fancy lunch at, like, you know, Denny's or something.
You had me, and then you lost me.
No, like hotel, like at an Embassy Suites or something.
Yeah, or, I'm imagining, you know, nice little afternoon coffee, a sandwich, maybe some soup. It's a nice day outside. Wind's blowing.
Have a little pipe outside.
Sure.
Not that kind of pipe.
Whoa.
Well, whatever you're into.
Whatever area of downtown you're in.
Yeah, it just depends on what you like, bro. I'm not a judge. Well, 50.4 million adults in the United States. How about this? Roughly 20% of the population are expected to combine to bet approximately $16 billion on the Super Bowl this weekend. Can you believe that?
Yes.
It actually does not startle me as much as it used to. The number of expected Super Bowl bettors is up 61%. Now that one does kind of get me. It's up 61% because why, Angel? It's legal in your cell phone now. That's why.
I wonder if that also correlates to this generation. Like when a certain number of people reach the gambling age, then they start gambling.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an influx of 21-year-olds.
Advertising works. Every other ad you see is DraftKings and Kevin Hart and, you know, Jamie Lee Fox and Kevin Garnett. Those guys are all over the place now.
Jamie Lee Fox?
Jamie, what's his name?
Jamie Fox.
It's not Jamie Lee Fox? Are you sure it's not?
You were going Jamie Lee Curtis.
There's no Lee there?
I don't think so.
Jamie Lee Fox. I think I'm right on this. Maybe you're right. There's no Lee. What's his middle name? Find out. Get our best minds on it. There's a lot of people gambling this weekend, though.
His name is actually Eric Marlin Bishop.
That's what I meant.
His stage name is Jamie Foxx.
Maybe it was Lee at one point. So we were both wrong. His name's not even Jamie Foxx. Wow, that's a complete change of names. Nuts, man. You have one of those names where you would, if you got famous and were in Hollywood, you wouldn't have to, because they want, like, Angels. Gonna work. That's gonna work. No? You'd change your name?
If people could say it right, then yeah.
How do they say it?
Angel, or well, like you read on a piece of paper, like in school, it was always Angle.
Angle. Oh, that's another one. I'm going to start calling you Angle.
Angelique.
Well, I've called you like five different ones.
Yes.
Angel. 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 Now I'm going to go with Angle.
I never had nicknames growing up. It was just, that was my name.
I'm a big nickname guy. Nobody is called by their real name. Even if they were called, if their name was Blazer, even though that's the best name in the history of the world,
Blazer,
I would change that somehow. Well, we're talking a little bit about the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni. He was, of course, let go by Andy Reid when Reid took over as head coach of the Chiefs. And apparently, he still kind of got a little chip on his shoulder. He said, he kind of asked himself his own question. Do you always have this chip on your shoulder? Sure, yeah, you do. But that's who I am as a coach and as a person. I want to make sure I'm working my butt off to get as good as I possibly can. And sure, you hold on to some of those things. Do you like Nick Sirianni's style? He is a tough SOB, man.
Yeah, it fits in Philly. I think you kind of have to have
a bit of a backbone.
And yeah, a stern attitude about things. He seems like he fits there.
Yeah, players have talked to him. He gets after him. There's no Nathaniel Hacketing around here. Not around Philly. No way. That's why you don't ask him stupid questions. I love that he just deadpan, like, my daughter's 5. Next question. On to Cincinnati. Please. That's what he should have said. He's got a chip on his shoulder. Yes, there's a lot to this one. Reed's got a chip on his shoulder because of the way Philadelphia let him go. Not really. They actually are kind of cool with each other, I think. But I want it to be more. Let's make it about that. I talked about this in The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, but the Mavericks are, they're saying, man, we're ready to go. We're gonna win a title now. Mavericks are touting title shot now with Kyrie Irving and Luka pairing. Is it going to be as easy as just pairing two superstars together? Is that the real threat to the Denver Nuggets title quest? The Dallas Mavericks now with Kyrie Irving? I'm just not afraid yet.
I mean, what happens when both those guys are on the bench?
Do you stagger? You stagger them a little bit?
Can you stagger them?
I don't know. I mean, in the playoffs, they're going to play a lot of those two guys will play a lot of minutes.
The entire game, almost.
Yeah, pretty
Kyrie,
much.
It's a day by day with him in terms of what kind of attitude
right.
is he going to
well,
show
now
up
you're
with,
always
what kind
asking,
of personality is he going to have today.
Right, what kind of
did he say
mood
something
is he
on
in?
Twitter? Did he retweet something he wasn't supposed to? Drama.
Yeah, there could be. There's always. It's Kyrie Irving now. I mean, he's at that point. He's got a lot of drama surrounding him. Did you see LeBron James? See what he had to say?
Doing what?
I feel
full
like
30-minute segment on ESPN to complain he didn't get Kyrie?
To complain that he wishes he could go to Target and not be accosted and people wouldn't know who he is. And then he says, I feel like I'm the best basketball player that ever played the game.
Okay, you can
You're
feel that
not.
Way.
You're just not, man.
Self-affirmation's good, I guess.
Could LeBron get there? Could he go? Because I think normal
like,
people would say no. There's no way he's better than Jordan and Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Kobe's better than LeBron.
I agree with that. I think in terms of performance, LeBron is definitely up there. Just his scoring ability, his physical ability on the court, and able to do it for such a long time. That's give him credit for that. But in the NBA and in sports, it comes down to championships, and he only has 2.5. I don't
three.
Count the
well, he got one with Cleveland. He got two with Miami. 3.5. Yeah, I don't. I mean, I count it because it's in the history books. But yes, he's got three real ones. One bubble one.
He'll never even get credit for that one.
Though. Even players say, "Dude, we were at a resort. There's no home crowd." Like we saw last night at Bank of Colorado Arena, crowds matter. Good or bad, some even visiting teams thrive off of your crowd if they're against you. The crowds matter. They weren't traveling. Like, it was just a weird time. Hell, I'm even willing to admit the Nuggets did something historic. They were down 3-1 twice, came back and won the series. And that's never happened before. So I'll even admit, even the historic thing the Nuggets did is like, but still, it's not as cool as it could be. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Well, Kenny Swami, LeBron really wants to be a basic white girl? Stop by Target, get some Starbucks, and rock the leggings and Uggs. I get what he's saying. He's saying, I want to be able to go out and do normal things and not have everybody follow me with pictures and cameras and stuff. And it's like, I get it. It's just stuff you don't really say.
I mean, if you have that much money, why are you going to Starbucks?
You could have your coffee delivered.
You could have it freshly made for you in your house and have it ready as soon as you wake up.
You could buy a coffee shop, and then you're the only one that goes into it. Kind of like those Davante Adams commercials with Taco Bell.
Just La Coffee.
Just buy a Taco Bell, and it's in your place, and you can feel like a normal person.
Does he even drink coffee?
I don't know.
Is that in his diet?
I don't know.
I can't imagine. Oh, extra caffeine. Yeah.
He said, I just want people to not know who I am. The minute he goes up and says, like, if he were to happen to say to somebody who didn't know him at Starbucks and goes, LeBron James, and then they deliver it and they're like, LeBron? The minute somebody would do that, he'd flip his lid. You don't know who I am. I'm the best basketball player in the world.
Well, if nobody noticed him, he would say, hey, no one's noticing
exactly.
me.
Exactly. Then stop doing things that make people notice you even more. Like, you're a great basketball player. You're going to go down in history as one of the greatest basketball players of all time. I admit that. I can't stand watching him anymore. But don't do things that draw even more attention to you if you don't like the attention. Stop bringing your books to press conferences. I've talked about that a lot, but I just hate it. Stop throwing yourself on the floor like a little baby when you get a foul call. Stop doing those things, and maybe a little less attention will be on you. Stop doing 30-minute... It's funny. I don't like all the attention, but you're doing a 30-minute special on ESPN. Why is he
just
getting
out of nowhere?
Why is he getting a 30-minute special on ESPN? By the way,
because he's supposed to break the scoring record.
Oh, that's right. I did.
And it kind of coincided with the Kyrie stuff.
Are they playing tonight?
Yes.
So he could. What's he need? Because he needed like 63. Okay, so probably not.
He'll probably get it. The ESPN will make a big deal out of it, and it'll be all over the place. I'll be watching the Nuggets tonight, so I don't.
Yeah, care. I won't be watching.
I'm gonna watch the real greatest player in the NBA.
How much does the scoring record mean to you now? Like, does it mean it's? Why am I just looking at it like, eh?
Records
get broken a lot lately.
You did what you were supposed to do in basketball. Scored points. Played a lot of games. Very long career. I don't know how long it's compared to whoever he's about to pass. Is it Kareem?
Probably, because I don't think Jordan's in the top five or something like that.
So, all right, you score a lot of points. That's good. You're supposed to score points.
I don't know.
Like, I will never discredit LeBron for the way he plays, because I do admire it. It's incredible how he's still able to play at that age. And
I do.
You're right.
I admire all of that stuff. You're absolutely right.
But everything outside of that, it's, all right, you got a scoring
title. I think it's because of who he is. It bothers
me. 10 years
me.
From now, somebody else is going to pass you up.
If we were talking about, I don't know, Jason Tatum, or Nikola Jokic, or Luka, or Joel Embiid getting ready to break this record, I'd probably be a little more into it. But I just know that this is LeBron, and it's just another thing we're going to have to hear about nonstop about LeBron James. Jordan was just different. It was just different. He did talking, but he was more of a trash talker, less of a builder-upper. Everybody around him built him up. He was more of a, just like you saw in the documentary, and I took that personally. I mean, I put my money where my mouth is. LeBron, he puts his money where his mouth is, but he puts his mouth out there a lot, dude. And it gets frustrating.
So here's the top five scorers. It goes Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Karl Malone, LeBron, and then Kareem.
That's the top five. I thought it was Kareem. Really? I thought Kareem was number one.
He is.
Oh, okay.
I went five.
Oh, okay. You scared me. I was like, wait, you're saying the exact opposite of what my brain was thinking.
Kareem played just about 1,500 games. LeBron's at 1,409.
Jordan only played in 1,000 games?
Like 1,072.
That's incredible. 18. I mean, again, he did retire twice. So, yeah, I guess that's why. 18 minutes after the hour. Let's talk about Colorado State coming up next with Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. We'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos have their head coach, but can he fix Russ? Hear Broncos talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Joining me now, Mike Brohard with CSURams.com. He's up on our First Advantage hotline. Mike, my friend, who are you picking to win the Super Bowl this weekend? Do you have your picks ready? Because I need to know.
I will go with Philly because of the defensive effort.
Okay. That's good. So I hope it's a good game. We'll see. What's your favorite part about the Super Bowl, Mike? Is it the game, or is it the commercials, or is it the halftime show? Is it the media crap leading up to it? What is your favorite portion of the Super Bowl week?
Well, 1 year I got the pleasure of being part of the media crap that led up to the week.
Yeah, but you didn't ask stupid questions like, hey, who would your 5-year-old daughter date on the team? Right? You were probably asking real football questions.
I was trying to, and then we got to a point where it was Elway's last game.
Nice.
When they beat Atlanta in Miami. And you get to a point you feel bad for the players because a lot of them are just sitting around reading the newspaper because nobody's talking to them.
Mm.
And then that was around the time when it started to become like MTV would come in and ask people what kind of tree they would be, things like that. And then you would sit there and listen to those. And so I think I actually was out there with some people from the Longmont Times call. We were owned, you know, by the same company. And I was out there with Troy Rink, and Troy Rink and I decided the last day we weren't going to the player conferences, we were going to go to the press conference for the halftime show and the Star Spangled Banner. And the halftime show wasn't a big deal back then, but it was Kiss and Cher, and it was the most entertaining press conference I've ever been.
Man, that is a combo, too, isn't it?
Yes, it really was. I mean, one reporter, I think from MTV, asked Cher how well she knew the guys of Kiss, and she said, which ones? And he said, all of them, and she said, intimately. And then she also referenced the Star-Spangled Banner, and the way she put it, it rocks. So, yeah, it was interesting.
That's cool, man. Well, that had to be a really fun experience to do that. And obviously, you talk to players all the time, but at that and on that stage with all the hoopla, as much as I'm joking about some of the ridiculous questions, I can't imagine what that experience would be like.
No, I think by the end of the week, it wears a lot of the players down because, honestly, a lot of people will come in and you'll pick out days when you want to talk to people and what stories you're going to write. And so a lot of these guys end up answering the same questions over and over and over again. And you do. You kind of feel bad for them because it's like 5 days of just buildup in town in Miami. And it's just, yeah, you do. You feel bad for the players that they have to answer so many questions. And I think it was really about an hour and a half each day that was blocked out for both teams.
Wow. Well, that's what I was saying earlier. I obviously love football season. The Super Bowl is probably right there with the preseason as far as my ranking up there with my least favorite games. The regular season, obviously, every game is so important. Playoffs are a lot of fun. But the Super Bowl, with everything that goes into it, the long halftime show and such, it doesn't really seem to live up to the hype. Even when they're great games, it doesn't live up to it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. One of the questions that we were joking about was, I think they asked Sirianni, like, is this a must-win game?
Yeah,
if we don't win, we don't win the Super Bowl. I mean, how do you even answer that?
You just try to be as polite as you can, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
That would be the best way I would go about it. But yeah, I mean, it's just, there's some ridiculousness to it all. But yeah, I think in the end, as a fan, all you really want is you want to see a good game, right? You want to see that tight game that maybe come down to the last play, making a stop at the 1 yard line, which we've seen before. You don't want to see the blowouts that a lot of Denver Bronco fans experienced the first time that they were going to the Super
Bowl.
Sure. You know, left a mark. So yeah, you want to see a good game. That's all I want. I want a good game, and I like to watch it and just by myself.
I'm kind of in that same. I'm not a big party guy, none of that stuff. I'm kind of in that same territory. Mike Brohard joining us from CSURams.com. Mike, how many? Talk about this basketball team on the men's side for the Rams. How many guys are actually going to be ready to go tonight against Air Force?
That's a really good question, Brady. And I think some of that's still kind of up in the air. I think right now you go in with the expectation that it's the same guys that they had available in this last game, and then you hope that maybe somebody's back. I don't think there's high hopes for that, but they do. They want to go down to Air Force. They want to work on some things that they thought worked really well in these last stretch of games. I mean, you look at the stretch of games, and obviously, you know, they're on a losing skid. You want to break that, and they take the things that are positive out of those games, and they're trying to build off those. And right now, at the end of the year, you're trying to steal some wins and gain some momentum going into Las Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, that's, again, we've talked about it. Anything can happen when you get into, once you get into the tournament, but you want to have some momentum at least, some confidence going in. Mike, we saw here last night with the UNC Bears, late night basketball. They've had a rough go, too, a very tough season for them. But a game like that might elevate you, might give you that confidence booster, give you some of that momentum to set you up so that in the tournament you can make some noise. And I know that's what the Rams are hoping they can start tonight against Air Force.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. You just go out there, and as much as, like I talked to the players a few weeks back, as much as each game is its own thing, they still start to stack up on you when you're going good and when you're going bad. So the trick is to make this game stick. What do we do? Stick to the plan and then come out with something positive out of it.
Hey, Mike, do you remember when I kept asking you if Torrey Horton was coming back?
Yeah.
Is Isaiah Stevens coming back?
I remember these conversations like every week. Yeah.
Is Isaiah Stevens coming back? Can we start that now?
Can we start what?
Is Isaiah Stevens coming back?
I don't know. I mean, this is a young man that's got a lot of decisions that he can make. And I actually asked him that question earlier this year. I said, have you started to think about it? And he goes, no, this isn't the time. I just want to focus on this team and everything going on. And I think you got to respect the young man's decision in that. So I haven't asked him since. So I'm sure a lot of fans are thinking about it. I mean, it's a fair enough question, but I don't know if it's the time to ask it. I mean, it's been a weird season for him. Obviously, it's been a season where you would think all of them were named Murphy, and that was the law that they were living under.
Yeah.
You want to give him a couple weeks, maybe a month after the season, to kind of digest everything that's happened. And then you got to take a look at what's available, you know, for him in terms of Isaiah. What's available to him as a young man, and what's the next step that he wants to take?
Yeah. No, and I can ask you anyway. It won't bug Isaiah if I ask you every week. We'll just do the Isaiah Stevens watch, Mike. It'll be fun.
Okay, so from here on, my standing answer is going to be, I don't know.
Dang it. You got to get creative with it.
I wish the best for Isaiah. Okay. I wish for peace for Isaiah in making this decision.
We're going to ask it next week, and we're going to see how you answer it. If it's the exact same, if you pass the test, there's going to be a lot of pressure. We'll just throw it out there at the end.
I think I'm going to write this down now.
I'm on to Cincinnati, or what did Marshawn Lynch say? Why am I blanking out on one of the biggest things?
I'm only here because I'm supposed to be.
I'm only here because so I won't get fined. There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, blanked out on that.
Will you find me?
I mean, I might, but you probably don't have to legally pay it, so I can say it, but I don't know if that's legal. So
sure.
I can try anyway.
I'm going to talk to my daughter. She's a lawyer.
If I just speak it into existence, Mike Brohard be fined by
that
us
here.
That
has worked for some people, as we've seen.
We'll give it a shot, and we'll see.
They try.
I'll go easy. I won't ask for a crazy amount. I'll go easy on you. The positive all year, really, though, has been the CSU women's basketball team. We've talked about them a lot, and obviously McKenna Hofshaw, she was the Mountain West Player of the Week. Well-deserved, obviously well-deserved, I should say. It was nice for them to grab these last two wins because they did something that was kind of rare for them. They lost three in a row in the conference to bounce back against Utah State, and then a tight one against Wyoming was good to see.
Yeah, it was. The tight one against Wyoming was really good to see from the standpoint that as much success as they've been having, they had lost, they would gone 0-6 in games that are decided by 5 points or less, right? So when you go ahead and you get a game-winning three from Caitlin Crocker to win a game and you win it by three, that puts a new mind frame into the roster. And so now that they know that they can not only just compete in these tight games, they can win them, and that's positive going forward.
Yeah, no doubt. And that's what's, I think with them, it's the opposite of you know, the men's basketball team for many reasons, but it's not necessary. You want to build momentum, but now you just want to make sure you're sharpening those tools so you're ready to go come conference play.
Yeah, you do. You know, you do. And then you sit there and you look at the fact in that Wyoming game, they played a majority of it without Destiny Thurman. And it could be a while before she's back. You got to go into San Jose State and Fresno and San Diego State, which is a really key game in terms of 1, 2, 3, 4, and then that conference seeding. They had to learn a little bit against Wyoming how to play without Destiny. They might have to do that for a couple more games. And it might also be one of those things that exposes something that they do really well, a combination that they can work with that helps them out. They've already made the late change, you know, just recently to going with Kendall Kinzer at the five, because she gives them more scoring and allows them to spread out the floor, which gives more driving lanes to a McKenna Hofshield, to a Crocker, and to a Destiny Thurman, even a Sydney Mech. And then you add in Kinzer's ability to hit the three, which is rare for a post, I guess, is the way you would look at it. That helps. So they've actually already made, you know, they're still making adaptations throughout the season to make themselves better for the stretch run.
Yeah, quite a few road games coming up, as you said, the stretch run for this women's basketball team. So they've been kind of the bright spot, you know, overall with a lot of the basketball teams that we look at in the area. Colorado State's women's hoops, I mean, they've kind of been, for the most part, the consistent bright spot in the state.
Yeah, they've been really good this year, and on top of that, they're just fun to watch. It's a fun style of play. They can hit threes. They can run. They can D up a bit. They play at a high octane pace, and I think that's fun basketball to watch.
Yeah, it really is. And, of course, Hofschild has been tremendous in her career with CSU, and I know there's a long way to go here this season, seeing what they can ultimately do. Mike, my man, what are you working on at CSURams.com that we can check out, or what have you worked on that we can look at this week?
I'm going to work on travel plans. So I'm going to actually go watch my daughter's final college meet this weekend.
Nice.
And then the next week, we have to work this out. I'll be talking to you from Houston, because I'll be down there with the CSU swim and dive team as they go to the Mountain West Championships. And right now I'm actually working on a story on one of their freshmen, Lexi Tritely, who's never lost the Collegiate 100. But she'll face some tough competition going down to the Mountain West. So it's been interesting to get to know her a little bit better. And then today, Evan, my intern, wrote a story about the upcoming softball season, because that new sport's upon us.
We're getting into that mode, no question about it. Well, we'll look forward to that, Mike, coming up, and we will figure out the best way to go about our chat next week, my friend.
I've already written down my answer, and it's ready to go. I don't know. I wish Isaiah peace when it comes time to make his decision.
Have it ready. You might want to write it down where you can, laminate
I've
that thing,
it down,
put it in the
I'm
wallet.
I'm going to tape it to my computer screen.
I will see. Yeah. We will look forward to that next week, man. The test is coming.
Of course, if I tape it to my computer screen, it's not going to do me any good in Houston next week. So.
That's true. That's what I'm saying. Put it in your wallet so you have it with you at all times, man. It'll be kind of
I'll tape it here to this part where, like, my hand rests on the computer. And then it'll always be with me.
You keep it forever, man. Put that right next to the Tori Horton questions and all that, man. We'll be good.
The Tori Horton questions you don't have to ask me anymore.
I know.
Right? You've looked at a roster,
yeah.
You know he's back, right?
I'm sad that I don't get to ask anymore, but I'm happy he's coming back. So.
Well, see, that's just you. You found a new person to ask about. Now I'm stuck answering this question.
New target, Isaiah Stevens, yeah. New target. Good luck to him. Mike, my man, good luck in your travels, and we'll talk to you next week.
Take care, sir.
All right, man. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. I mean, it's on my mind. Is Isaiah Stevens coming back? I'll tell you what was on my mind last night on Gel Angle was, is Dalton Knecht coming back? Is Riley Abercrombie coming back? This is the question. These are the questions that you have now. As a college sports fan, you look at stuff, okay, because I'm looking at UNC going, well, Dalen's gone for sure. Matt's gone for sure. Who's coming back to this roster? Well, Dalton, Jerry, we asked Jerry last week, and he said 50-50. And that's, I guess he could go elsewhere? Or could he go play? Could he transfer again? I don't know. Could he go play, overseas professional basketball? I don't know. I'd like to see him back. I was impressed, though, with some of the freshmen getting out. Langston Reynolds might be a player. He might be good. Caleb Shaw was really good to start the season, and then he's kind of struggled. Looked all right last night. He had some good moves.
Yeah, I really like that combo of Caleb Shaw and Langston Reynolds. I think they're both going to be crucial pieces moving in the next couple of years. I think Langston he's a combination of Dalen and Matt, kind of with his floor presence, but also he hasn't shown off his shooting ability just yet. But he does have a lot of good, quickness on the floor and good pacing. And Caleb Shaw, I told you last night, he reminds me of Christian Brown, just with his energy and that kind of guy coming off the bench that's going to get you good minutes. So I really like the young guys, and glad to see a couple of new faces last night too.
Well, when you get blowouts like that, you get a chance to see those guys, and that gives Smiley a better look. Obviously, he's got his look in practice, but seeing them in the games. Obviously can probably help him sleep at night with some confidence in some of these young guys. The Eaton Country Club, a new sponsor for the season for us here at the whole show. We know the cold, snowy weather is crazy. It's making everybody nuts. But golf season? We're getting there. It's right around the corner. Before too long, you'll be back to hitting fairways and knocking down putts at Northern Colorado's Hidden Gem. And I'll tell you this, at the Eaton Country Club, I suck at golf. But it's a blast to go out there. Relaxed environment. Consider becoming a member today. Check them out online at eatoncc.net. You won't regret it, man. I mean, this is a laid-back, awesome environment.
We're getting good at golf this year, Brady.
Are we?
We're going to get
good. We say that, but...
No, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Because
we'll
Tanner's going to want to go golf all the time.
Oh, he golfs like... He's probably golfing now. He's probably out there digging, hitting the snow and digging out of it right now as we speak. 38 minutes after the hour. I'll take you to that, man. I'll hold you to that. Let's do it. Let's see if we can get better with our thanks to our friends at the Eaton Country Club. 38 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
Do you think the Sean Payton stuff's a little much, a little extra, as they say? Just like we're over the top. Everybody, even like well-respected writers and such are like, oh, he nailed the day, and it's this amazing thing, and this is opening it up for professionalism there. And again, the Broncos desperately need that. It slowly faded and eroded with John Elway in control. I mean, at first it seemed like Elway was the man at that job. And then every year just got a little bit worse than the year before. Every coach got a little bit more laughable than the coach before. And then it just finally felt like the Hackett stuff, the Russ stuff, the sideshow that it became last season was like the culmination of 6 years heading into seven of just miserable football.
You ever done anything dangerous?
That kind of stuff. Hackett stuff. I mean, Angel, think about the year. Crowd counting down because you can't get a play in. I've never seen anything like it.
46 left hash.
46 left hash. Melvin Gordon gets demoted for fumbling, can't play the rest of the game, and then he's promoted to starter again. Just fights breaking out on the sidelines. It was a sideshow. Will any of that stuff happen with Sean Payton? Unless it's a freak thing, no. Are they going to ever have delay of game penalties? Yes. The Broncos will have some delay of game penalties. I'm sure of it. But it won't be of that magnitude. It won't be laughable like that. You're not going to have fights on the sidelines. I don't think you will. Coaches can't allow that. You know, guys jawing a little bit, okay. But you can't have what you had last year with Dalton Risner and Brett Rypien, especially. Can't do it. So, trust me, you have brought in a professional that is really going to seal off a lot of the goofiness, a lot of the quirkiness. I'm 100% all in on the idea of saying, hey, Russ, dude, we have a coaching staff. You can't have your own coaching staff. That sets a bad precedent. If we are saying that everybody gets a coaching staff, then why doesn't Jerry Jeudy get to bring in his coaching staff? Why doesn't he get to bring in an old receiver coach to come in? Now everybody's got their own coach. And even though, yes, that's unrealistic, well, Russell Wilson's a quarterback, it still sets that up. Why does Russ have his own office? Is that going away? I wonder if anybody asked him about that. Is the office going away?
I'm going to take it that he doesn't know about that. In response to the question about Russell's quarterback coach, he said, I didn't know anything about that.
So he probably, I would imagine the office is going the way of the quarterback's coach as well.
Unless it's in Russell's contract. There could be an office. All of this stuff could be in that contract.
It could be.
That I have to have my trainers, my staff, my office, my marketing team.
They gave him everything. That's what I'm saying. Like, it is way more difficult. And if you want to compare, Tanner likes to do this, compare the sports world to the regular world. If you get your job and I give you everything, you get the corner office, you get extra days off, you get this, you get breaks, you get all of these things. And then suddenly times are lean and it's like, hey, we got to have you move from the corner office and you don't get as much vacation time now and you don't get this. That employee is going to be pissed. But if you never gave them that in the first place and told them that, no, you couldn't have it, well, they might be a little upset, but they're not pissed because they weren't used to that life, to that arrangement. And that's where Russell Wilson is right now. He's used to a way of doing things, even in Seattle. And then basically the Broncos rolled out the red carpet, which, by the way, George Payton was just fine with. That wasn't just a head coaching decision. That wasn't just a Nathaniel Hackett, I'm okay with it. George Payton had to approve of that, unless he didn't know, which is even worse. Is there going to be an issue between those two, Sean Payton and Russell Wilson? You're going to hear all the right things said by Russ. I started the show talking about this. If Sean Payton's going to do all those things, that's fine. But aside from supplying talk show hosts with stuff to talk about, saying it to the media, it's interesting. I mean, it just, you put it out there that, oh no, that's not happening. When it, you know, in a perfect world, you probably go back and say, you know what? We're evaluating everything, the way we do things, because that's why they brought me in here. So we'll sit down and we'll confirm if that really is going on. And then we'll figure out what the best course of action will be in the future. The way it should have ran. You said something yesterday, too, Engel. Yeah. Are you sorry you told me that?
No, I've heard it for years.
I know, but now it's part of it. It's part of it. You said he talked a lot about the Saints organization. And a lot about how he did things there. It was a lot of, you know, chest pounding. And I've done this. And I think Broncos country wants that. They need somebody like that. Because Hackett was the opposite. He wasn't pounding his chest at all. He was pounding everybody else's chest. He was saying everybody else is great. It's Russell freaking Wilson, man. It's Sierra. I love her. She's great. Like, it was all of that stuff. There is a balance. Sean Payton clearly struck that balance at one point. He won a title. The proof is in the pudding. It's hard to argue that. But to not look ahead and fear some pitfalls, I think is irresponsible, even as a fan. Dixon texting in on the First Advantage text line. Payton does come with some of his own baggage. The prescription meds thing, which has yet to be resolved. Refresh my memory on that. Because it's hitting my memory, but not all the way, and I don't want to sit and talk about it without really... I kind of forgot about that, to be honest. Bounty Gate, suspended for a year, bailing on the Saints a year after Breeze leaves because he wanted to go to Miami with Brady. Yeah, those things I can all speak on very well, because those are my concerns. Bounty Gate, and it's not necessarily Bounty Gate in and of itself, because I don't ever see that happening again. It's the fact that once he found out about it, he tried to cover it up and he did not tell the truth about it. So if something comes up in Denver, which I don't believe will be Bounty Gate, will he be likely to try to cover it up and make it worse than the actual crime? All right, so what is this?
So back in 2010, okay. Sean Payton and linebackers coach Joe Vitt were unnamed senior staff members who were referenced in a lawsuit filed by the team's former security director, claiming he was asked to cover up abuses of prescription painkillers. Payton was distributed a large number of Vicodin pills despite having no medical condition, while Vitt is accused of stealing the painkiller from the team's drug cabinet. This was 2010.
Okay.
So
it was a while ago.
It was right around Bounty Gate, right around that same time.
A lot of weird things happening around Bounty Gate. Is that a big concern? I mean, I guess it is baggage. Is it a big concern? Probably not. Like, listen, none of these things I'm looking at going, I'm terrified. I'm like, this guy's no good. Why did you go this route? Like, I know I've made this comparison a lot with CSU when they hired Adazio, but he was like their fourth choice after three guys that they said they wanted to go after. And one of their goals was to find guys high quality, all that. And then everybody that was on their list, quick Google search, found out, oh, they did this, they did this, they did this. Okay, you're not really taking this seriously. And then it was Adazio. Those concerns to me were really, really valid, because it's like, dude, he's clearly your fourth guy. And Urban Meyer's here, like, trying to convince you guys to take him. It just seemed really strange. I don't get that vibe at all. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that everything is all hunky-dory. Texter, one Super Bowl and only two NFC championship games in 15 years with a Hall of Fame quarterback. Won a lot of regular season games, but you could argue he sucked in the playoffs. He was like, what was he, like a 500-type coach in the playoffs?
Just over 500. I was going to ask, is that a concern that, yes, you did win a Super Bowl in your fourth year with the Saints, outside of 2018, you didn't even make it back to the conference championship game?
Yeah, it's all a concern.
And granted, that was a game that was the whole missed PI call. So, and you go back then, a lot of people were picking the Saints to go to the Super Bowl that year.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good coach. Is he good enough to get Russ over the top? That's the question. How good is he? Because he does have pitfalls. This isn't a perfect coach here. Harbaugh had a pretty good record for just 4 years in the league. That's why I think he was really their number one choice. We'll take a quick break. I'll wrap up the second hour. I've got Riley Abercrombie coming up next. He was the star of the night inside Bank of Colorado Arena for the Bears. We'll talk to him coming up soon. Don't want to miss that. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Join Clark Johnson and Bruce Dick for Clark and the Coach. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
For 4 days, Angel, would you go to a little house of complete darkness for 4 days? They have little slots where they deliver you food, but it's like a cave almost. 4 days of that.
Is this a Rogers
thing? Yes, it is. You knew where I was going.
Yeah, I could do maybe a couple hours. 4 days.
He says...
might come out insane.
He's going on a darkness retreat in a couple of weeks. It's 4 days, complete darkness, just himself in a little house. Like, how little are we talking? You don't want to be in the dark for too long, right? It's a bad
thing. It can help trigger DMT, which is a hallucinogen, a very hardcore hallucinogenic drug. It is a natural occurring chemical in our brains, but it's not supposed to happen until after everything shuts down.
If the darkness can create, like, it can make you feel that? Wow.
It's extreme sensory deprivation.
Oh, my goodness. That is insane. I don't think I'm in on that. What if you were given like $1 million? Now you're interested. All right, we'll get to it. Riley Abercrombie coming up next. The star of the night for the Bears. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.